Chapter 22. When I came into the office, Paul looked me straight in the face. He knew it was unnecessary to search me and the food, but he knew he had to do it. He also knew that he should not even think about not doing it. It was as much his duty as wearing the uniform and carrying the cell keys. But you could see in his eyes that he was wondering why. Even when he was searching me and not looking in my face, I could tell by the light touches on my pockets that he didn't want to do it. And with the food, it was the same. The chief deputy sat behind the desk, watching everything. To him, this was how things were supposed to be and how they would be. Paul and I left the office and walked down the narrow, dark corridor. "Where would you like to meet him?" he asked. "In his cell, I don't mind." "You want me close by?" "No, I don't think so." "It can be different now," Paul said. "I'll be okay," I said. "How is he?" "He's taking it pretty good." "Any changes?" "I haven't noticed any." We came up to the steel door to the cell block. "You sure you want to be alone?" Paul asked again. "You're the first visitor since that news." "I'm sure I'll be all right." "If you say so." He opened the steel door. For the first time, the prisoners did not call to me or stick their hands through the bars as I passed. Some spoke quietly, others only nodded, but all were watching. Paul and I continued down the block to the last cell. Jefferson was lying on his back, staring up at the ceiling. Paul looked at me again. I nodded to him to indicate that I was not afraid and that I wanted to be alone with Jefferson. The deputy opened the cell door and let me in. Then he locked it and left. "How are you, Jefferson?"
"I'm all right."
"I brought you some food," I said. His body took up the bunk, so I set the bag of food on the floor near his head. I went to the wall and stood under the window. "You need anything, Jefferson?" He shook his head. "You want to talk about anything?" He shook his head again. Then he just lay there staring up at the ceiling while I stood watching him.
"What day is it?"
he asked, without looking at me. "It's Friday, Jefferson," I said. "Friday," he said to himself. "Friday." He was quiet for a moment. Then he slowly let his feet slide to the floor as he sat up on the bunk.
"Look like it's pretty out there," he said, gazing up at the window.
"Yes, it's a nice day," I said. "No clouds anywhere, just blue."
"You think it's going to be like that day?"
he asked. I didn't answer him. He was looking out the window when he said it. Now he turned to me. "I hope it's the kind of day you want, Jefferson," I said.
"The kind of day I want?" he said.
"The kind of day I want? I never got nothing I wanted in my whole life. Now I'm gonna get a whole day?" I didn't know what to say. He looked at me a while. Then he turned to the window again. "Do you like fruit, Jefferson?" I asked him. "I can pick up some fruit and some pecans. Ice cream? Funny books? Things like that?"
"I want me a whole gallon of ice cream," he said, still looking out the window.
I saw a slight smile come on his face, and it was not a bitter smile, not bitter at all.
"A whole gallon of vanilla ice cream. Eat it with a pot spoon. My last supper. A whole gallon of ice cream."
He looked at me again.
"Ain't never had enough ice cream. Never had more than a nickel cone. Used to run out in the quarter and hand the ice cream man my nickel, and he'd give me a little scoop on a cone. But now I'm gonna get me a whole gallon. That's what I want, a whole gallon. Eat it with a pot spoon."
"I can bring you some ice cream any time, Jefferson," I said.
"I'm gonna wait," he said. "I'm gonna wait. I want a whole gallon. Eat it with a pot spoon. Every bit of it with a pot spoon."
He smiled. He smiled now because he had something pleasant to look forward to, though it would be on that last day, and he would save it until the very last moment. "You want to hear about the news from the quarter?" I asked him. "Stella had her baby." He looked at me, not as he had done in the past, in pain, with hate. He looked at me with an inner calmness now. "Was it the ice cream?"
"He favored Gable," he asked. "With little babies, they don't favor anybody too much," I said. "Oh, Gable," he said, and smiled to himself. "Got himself a baby. Got himself a baby." Then I saw the face change. He was no longer smiling, but staring at the wall. We were supposed to go hunting that day. He had forgotten about the ice cream now. He was remembering the day he was supposed to go into the swamp with Gable, but instead had ended up with Brother and Bear at the liquor store. "Inez is still giving her fares up the quarter," I said, trying to get him back. "But no music, no dancing. She calls that sinning. If you want your music at a fair, you have to go down to Willie Aaron's house. Willie still has that stack of old low-down blues, Tampa Red, Mercy D, you know, all of them." He was not listening to me now. He seemed to be thinking about hunting with Gable. "I just thought of something," I told him. "Let me bring you a little radio. You can have music all the time. You can listen to Randy's record shop late at night." "Randy's still on?" he asked, looking at the wall, not at me. "Yes, he's still on," I said. "I was listening to him just the other night. I have to play the radio low so Tant Lou can't hear it. These old people, you know. All music except church music is sinning music. So I play it so low I can hardly hear it myself. I laugh to make him laugh." But he did not.